We've talked to a couple of your national team teammates over the last few months. We talked to Renata Fast. We talked to Jamie Lee Rattray a couple of weeks ago. And we've asked them, and I'll ask you, how you've, you know, spent time the last few months with the pandemic going on, probably not able to train beyond the ice. How's it been at home, you know, not out of your comfort zone, out of your routine, and not able to do what you normally do?
Yeah, I think you said it all. After the season, usually we take a break about a month after Worlds. Now, Worlds didn't happen, so that was a bummer right away. And yeah, since the pandemic, I've been lucky enough to be home with my son. So that has taken a lot of my time. He's only two, so the activity spent for him is about 2 minutes, so I have to come up with a lot of activities for a full day. But yeah, I've been training, lucky enough to train from home in my garage that one of my friends gave me some equipment to train. So now things are starting to open up again, so feeling a little bit more normal.
So, you know, looking at life for you, Melody, I was reading that you do some coaching with McGill, your alma mater. And before we get to talking about your time with McGill, what aspect of coaching do you think you like the most? Do you think coaching has at all at any point helped you look at developing players, perhaps in any aspect, somewhat differently?
Yeah, I played at McGill, and now I'm coaching at University of Montreal. And yeah, it's been awesome. It's been 2 years that I'm with the team, and I think what I take the most out of it is that you can give back to the younger players, and you can actually have an impact in their career, which I love to do. And if I can help them develop the best that they can, and hopefully have a couple of them on the national team, that would be awesome. And I think it also helped me that I'm still playing. I see the game differently, looking at tapes and videos that we want players to do certain things, so then I can adapt it to my own game, and I think that has helped me and the team a lot.
Melody Daou's with us, and before I want to ask you about the NHL 20 bracket challenge, because you know, Sportsnet's backed it here, and it's been a lot of fun watching it. And I want to, you know, take us through how you got involved with that. And as somebody personally who plays and is, I'm okay, I'm not great, I wish I was better, like, how are you? Like, I watched, you seem like you know what you're doing, and it's like some tips for somebody like me who wants to get better at that game.
I'm pretty sure we're in the same pool. I actually played only like 3 times in NHL 20 since I had the PlayStation that Sportsnet provided us with. But I used to play NHL on the PS4 when I was younger with my cousin. It was one of our activities. So I still had the hang of it a little bit, but Bennington was way too good for me. I think I got lucky enough to score a couple goals there, and then he took home the game. But it was a lot of fun just to be able to play against him. He was a really nice guy, and obviously I think it was just fun overall to showcase like women's sport with the men's sport.
So Melody, did you have to prepare any trash talk for this matchup with Binnington here?
I think I have trouble to focus to play at the same time as playing as talking was even harder, so I didn't get any trash talk going. But one of my teammates who actually send one in for me. It was pretty good. Got it.
So I want to ask you about and about the 3-on-3 experience you guys had at All-Star Weekend back in January in St. Louis, because it was great. I think for a lot of people, it was by far the highlight of the weekend, and it was a good spotlight on the women's game and the high-end talent that exists in the game. And just kind of that experience and what you maybe feel that can do to continue the growth and the conversation around the development of the women's game.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. We need to be showcased at the largest level as possible. And I think beside the Olympic, or even greater than the Olympic, we played it at a time where everyone was able to watch from North America. So that was amazing. And just that the NHL upgraded how many players or women's players were going to participate at the NHL All-Star Game, I think that was just there, it shows that they believe in our product and what we can bring to the table in the future. And I think, we had a lot of fun. We got treated really well. And our goal was to make sure that we put women's hockey in front of eyes of everybody, and that we can showcase our sport the best that we could. And it was the best 20 players in the whole world. So I think that was pretty good for the fans to watch too.
I feel like, Melody, there's an aspect of the All-Star game where a lot of people, a lot of the men, I should say, don't necessarily take it seriously. And with that in mind, did you have to have a conversation at all with your teammates on Team Canada here to say, you know what, we are not going to do that. We are going to take it seriously because of all the things you and I and Josh are talking about in terms of showcasing the women's game?
Yeah, exactly. I think as soon as we got the invite, we all look at each other and we're like, we're not going there to lose. And I think, you know, when you watch Canada against USA, it's always a huge rivalry. And that was just one other game. Like, we wanted to beat them, and weird enough, we were in the same dressing room. So we were split, each team on each side of their dressing room. But once we hit the ice, that rivalry just came back right away. And we could have probably used a couple more players because it was 10, I think it was 20 minutes nonstop, three on three, so on a huge ice. So, I think we had a lot of fun, but at the same time, we wanted to make sure that we were going to showcase women's hockey the best that we could. And I think the fans really appreciated it.
Melody Daou's with us, and I want to ask you about putting on the Maple Leaf for Team Canada for the first time at the national senior level at the 2011 Four Nations Cup, and what that was like for you, and also looking around in that dressing room and seeing Haley Wickenheiser, Jaina Hefford, Megan Augusta, who had won gold medals and probably been players that you looked up to, what that whole experience was like being in the room and on the ice with those players for the first time.
Yeah, I think it's always amazing when you're a young hockey player. You always dream to play with your model and your idol. And I think when you get the chance to dress up with them, see how they take it seriously, how much they train and they sacrifice to be the player that they are, it's amazing. And everyone of the player on the team has a different path in their career, and that's what I love to know their story and just find out like how they made it there. And it's pretty special that everyone didn't have an easy path, and it's great to relate with.
Was there any one player, Melody, that you perhaps bonded with a little more? I know we hear stories about everyone having one particular person they looked up to, and I know a lot of the more legacy players of Team Canada on the women's side come from Quebec, as do you. I wonder, was there any connection there prior to coming to the Olympics or prior to coming to the national team via Team Quebec?
Yeah, I think I played with Pooh when I was with Team Quebec, and but I would say like before the first centralization 2013, Caroline Ouellette was really the one that took me under her wing and prepared me mentally, physically to be ready for the camp and for the centralization and the boot camp. I'm sure you heard the stories about the boot camp, how hard it was. So it was just like great to have her part of it, and for her to actually care about me the way that she did, and to make sure that I was ready and that I needed, like, if I needed anything, I knew I could lean on her. And I still remember that picture after we won the gold medal in Sochi. I was beside her, and it was just nice to be able to share that with her because she was such a big part of my development throughout the years in Quebec.
So you talk about winning the gold medal in 2014 in Sochi, and you know, for a lot of people, that's one of the best hockey games probably of the last 10 years. It like, you think about all the crazy stuff watching it. I can only imagine what it was like to be on the ice, to be part of it with the whole rivalry. So what were some of the craziest things for you in your first gold medal game, that kind of game against Team USA?
Oh man, just being at the Olympics is just a dream come true. Like, I didn't think it could get any better than being named on the Olympic team and become an Olympian for life. And then you go on into the final, and it's just another game. But the way that it happened, and that we were back, and we were down by 2 goals, and then obviously when the puck hit the post, like, we can't go without talking about that. I remember I was on the bench, and we looked at that puck rolling as slow as possible and made it to the post. And at that point, we all looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, like, this is a sign. Like, we're going to get this game. And from then, our team just, I don't know, found a second win, and we went at it. And lucky enough, we came out strong and won the gold medal. And yeah, that was an experience that if I wanted to write a fairy tale, I couldn't describe it better than that. It was just unbelievable to be a part of.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Melody. I honestly have always felt that if they were to turn the moment of the puck hitting the post into a movie, or if someone was pitching that idea, I feel like studios might actually say that's a little too out there, and yet that's a thing that actually happened in real life, right? Like, that's one of the wildest things. Like, how many times have you watched personally those last 2 minutes?
Oh my God, so many times. I feel like I do presentation in schools and for businesses, and I think every time I play the video, like, everyone remember exactly where they were. And what I love about sharing that is, like, I get to hear all the story of everybody, because everyone remember where they were. And that was just, it's just fun to be able to share that. I think it brings Canada together. It brings the world together. And that's the beauty of the Olympics.
So, you know what, I'm kind of curious, if you just were in an empty rink and you tried to score that empty net goal, I think it was Kelly Stack who tried to clear it into the net, from that spot, do you think you could actually replicate hitting the post the way that she did? Like, is that just one of those things that is almost impossible to see happen a second time?
Yeah, I think, like, she had the right mentality of doing it. I think I would have done the same thing if I was on our team at that moment. But, yeah, it's just, it's not a practice thing that you're going to say, oh, if there's 2 minutes left in the game, I'm going to try it, you know? So I think it's just from the guts of what you feel like in that moment. And, yeah, I never practiced to do that in a game, but maybe I should.
You know, Melody, I've always been curious, with all the times you have faced the American team at this point, and we were kind of talking about it earlier, you know, you guys shared the dressing room at the All-Star Game in St. Louis, and all the different matchups and exhibition play, as well as in the actual Olympic tournament itself. Is there someone on Team USA who you say, oh man, I hate having to line up across from this person?
I guess ask that question quite often, and I think it's not that you don't like to match up against them. It's just they're hard to play against. And when you name, it's because they are very talented. So I think on forward in the U.S., I played so many times against her this year with the PWHPA. And I would say Decker as a forward is really hard to play against. She's so good. And Bellamy on defense, she's really rough and hard to go around and without getting bumped. So I think those two players on the U.S. team are for sure the ones to look out for.
So we've talked about the PWHPA a couple of times over the last few months, and the Dream Gap Tour, and everyone who's been involved with it said how great it was and the positives it can do for the women's game. So have you heard anything on what this coming year is going to look like for the Dream Gap? Because I imagine that it was expected to even be bigger and better in year two, but with the pandemic, have you heard where things stand as far as it goes for the Dream Gap this fall?
Yeah, I think as you just said, like, the Dream Gap Tour last year was so good, and as we went on and on with the season, more and more NHL team wanted to be a part of an host a weekend tournament, and that was amazing. And I think we had a huge progress with the NHL, also with communication about having something. And now with the pandemic, I think it's the same thing in every league, and for even jobs for the regular population. And I think for us, we're just hoping that one day it's going to develop into a professional league, and for right now, we're still waiting for sure, but we haven't heard anything about what's going to happen with the NHL for next year, but we're hopeful that there's still going to be showcases and us being able to promote the game, and we're lucky enough to have sponsors that were there last year that hopefully comes back and support us against this year.
Melody, before we let you go, on kind of on the same topic about the Dream Gap Tour and getting these opportunities to showcase the women's game even more, what role do you think, and you kind of touched on it here a little bit, but what role do you think the NHL itself has to have in terms of leagues in the future going forward? Because I know we have a lot of discussions on this show about the CWHL's history and the NWHL and the comments made by Gary Bettman. Where do you feel the NHL fits into all of this?
That's a tough question. Like, there's so many things that the NHL could do for us, and for sure the first one would be exposure. The fans need to know that there's a professional team in each region. Like, I don't know if in Montreal everyone knows that there's a women's hockey professional team, but yet everyone knows that there's a men's NHL team for the Habs. So, like, this is the start. We want exposure for sure. For sure, the money is going to help, because without money, like, the girls have to work full time from 7 to 5 and then work out and then practice at 10 p.m. Like, that makes no sense to me. So there's so many things that with money that we could get our league to move forward, and the exposure, and maybe, like, it might be wild, but just being able to play before the Habs in Montreal when they play, I think we would gain more fans, and then from there I think everything would come. And if we could also play on TV more than when we're at the World Championship or at Four Nation or at the Olympics, then the fans can follow us throughout the years, and I think that's something really important, that the fans need to see us. If you don't see us, nobody's going to watch us.
Yeah, and I think the 3-on-3 at the All-Star Game was a real eye-opener for a lot of people, and hopefully it leads to more positive stuff and conversations with the NHL. We really appreciate this. This was a lot of fun. We know you've got your hands full with your son. We appreciate you taking a couple of minutes for us. Hopefully you're back on the ice in the fall doing what you love. But again, we can't thank you enough, and stay safe. Best to you and yours.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.